Hello and welcome into this edition of the Golf Show Podcast with Rex and Lav. Well, after much debate, after much deliberation, and certainly after much discussion on this very podcast, Keegan Bradley has made his decision official, announcing on Wednesday that he will not serve as a playing captain for the upcoming Ryder Cup. Instead, he will just serve as the captain. His six picks: Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, Ben Griffin, Patrick Cantlay, Sam Burns, and Cameron Young. Rex, Keegan Bradley spoke for about an hour with reporters on site at PGA Frisco. What was your level of surprise when he announced that he will not be bringing his clubs? He'll simply just be donning an earpiece.
I think the level of surprise was very high, and I'm not 100% sure he's not going to bring his clubs. So he was asked specifically about possibly being an alternate in case someone got injured. God forbid, if it's Scottie Scheffler, I think that was the joke, if he makes pasta again. But I don't know. I have argued throughout this entire process, and I think you said something Monday on the roundtable with Golf Today that I disagreed with. Any metric will tell you that Keegan Bradley right now is among the top 12 Americans, whether that's Ryder Cup points, whether that's world ranking points, whether that's data golf, whether that's strokes gain total, whatever metric you want to throw at me, he is among the top 12 Americans. In any other universe where he's not also the captain, I think he's pretty much a lock. We were just on Golf Today talking, and Brandel Chamblee brought up the point before us that at least five of those picks were pretty much, when it comes to U.S. teams, as no-brainers as you get. And I think the only difference when it comes to Keegan is, you add that element that he's the captain. And I think we saw it last week, certainly when I was at East Lake, and as the week progressed and as the pressure built and as he just kept having to answer more and more questions, I think if anything, it just showed him that, no, I can't do both. Look, the Tour Championship, there's a lot of pressure there. You're playing for a lot. It doesn't compare to what they'll face at the Ryder Cup. The Ryder Cup is the pinnacle of pressure when it comes to professional golf. And the idea that somehow he was going to try to split his time between playing and captaining. Now, I do want to pick apart some of the things he said during that press conference, but I do think it landed home sort of pretty hard that, no, I can't do both. I need to fixate on just the one thing I was hired to do, and that's to be the best captain I can be.
Kudos to you. You were the boots on the ground last week at East Lake, and the Tour Championship, talking to players, talking to the vice captains, getting a good reading on what Keegan Bradley was going to do. You mentioned on the Sunday night podcast and as well on the Monday roundtable on Golf Today that Ben Griffin was sort of the player that you had circled as potentially feeling the most heat, the most pressure, was the most uncertain to make that team. That sounded surprising from the outset, just because you look at him in points. He was more than 1,000 points earned, more than number 10, Maverick McNeil. You look at what he'd done recently, 10 top 15 finishes in his last 12 starts. He's one of the most complete players on the PGA Tour, 7th in strokes gained total. He's all the way up to 7th in data golf. It would have been a pretty shocking decision by Keegan Bradley to leave Ben Griffin off, because when you look at those six players who he was going to be picking as a potential captain's pick, Ben Griffin was first in all of the categories, whether it was scoring average, top 10, strokes gained, whatever you wanted to pick. So leaving that player off would have been surprising. It was actually our colleague Todd Lewis who got the rumor mill started with a quote from Keegan Bradley himself on Sunday night, saying that there are probably some players on the who are in the standings who think they are going to be a part of this team and will be disappointed when they receive a call. I think everyone's mind went immediately to Ben Griffin. But I think actually, Rex, like listening to Keegan Bradley for the better part of the past hour at PGA Frisco, the most disappointed player isn't Maverick McNeely or Brian Harman or Jordan Spieth. It sounds to me, Rex, like Keegan Bradley is the player and the call that was the toughest to make. Do you agree with that assessment?
I think Mav was devastated. Actually, we were kind of asked, Todd Lewis during our roundtable just now was asked about who was this year's Keegan Bradley. And I think Mav McNeely is probably a good one to point to, because as we pointed out, he has played really well this year. And most of these players, Ben Griffin included, have done all of their damage, have earned all of their ability to try to qualify for this team in 1 year, where the 2 year cycle sort of, you look at Xander Schauffele did not have a great year, but he had banked a lot of points the year before. So I would say Mav's probably the most disappointed. I was at a Folds of Honor event again on Monday after the championship, and I had a chance to talk with some former Ryder Cup captains. That stood out to me, and I talked Lopez, who of course was a U.S. Solheim Cup captain and winning U.S. Solheim Cup captain. And I asked her, is there any way you could have possibly done both? Could you have played and you could have captained? And she thought about it for a split second and said, I wouldn't have wanted to. That what I do was fixate on being a captain and how much fun that was and the pressure and how it just pulls something out of you that you've never really experienced in your entire life. Now, she's saying this completely in retrospect, to be fair. She did not have to make that choice the way Keegan Bradley had to make that choice. But I can imagine a scenario where 2 months from now, when we're talking about however the Ryder Cup plays out, that Keegan will feel very similar to that. That however the experience goes down, you want to be a captain. You want to make the most of that. Because most people, not named Davis Love, don't get two turns of it. So this is an opportunity of a lifetime. And I think Keegan made the right choice.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying about Mav, who was 10th in points. He did not win a golf tournament in 2025, did not play particularly well in the major championships as well. He did have, Maverick McNealy did 3 top 5 finishes in signature events, finished 3rd at the BMW Championship. But to hear Keegan Bradley, it sounds like the decision on which 12 they were going to take has been sort of written in pencil, if not ink, over the past couple weeks. Nothing at the Tour Championship potentially save for Keegan Bradley. Winning the FedEx Cup, the Tour Championship, maybe would have changed that. But I think when you're looking at sort of the bear case for Maverick McNealy, he'd be a newcomer to the squad, obviously, has not really proven himself on a major championship stage. Listening to Keegan Bradley, he's talked over and over about, I want a guy who not just has passion for the event and wants to be there, but relishes sort of having the ball in that arena. There are home Ryder Cups, and then there are Ryder Cups at Bethpage Black. I think Maverick McNealy, as great of a player as he is, as solid of a season in 2025 as he had, I think bringing like a Ben Griffin and a Maverick McNealy on that squad would probably have been an unwise move. And I think the 6 that he cobbled together, you know, sort of sans Keegan Bradley as a player, I think make the most sense to me.
Well, and if you look at the players who quote unquote got passed over, whatever that means, based on just the points, the U.S. Ryder Cup points, obviously Mav was 10th when the points cut off after the BMW Championship. Keegan was 11th. Brian Harman was 12th and Andrew Novak was 13th. As you just pointed, and we just talked at length about Keegan, why that probably wasn't a good idea and why the captain came around on what he was thinking. You pointed out Brian Harman's not a great fit for Bethpage. We know what kind of test it's going to be. It's a long, hard slog, and he's probably not that got that game for it. And Andrew Novak has played brilliant this year. He's right alongside Ben Griffin on that. However, he hasn't won an individual title. He won alongside Ben Griffin at the Zurich Classic as a teammate. But yes, I think there's something to be said for the idea that you kind of have to prove yourself under either major championship pressure, to Keegan's point, which I totally agree, or on Sunday to try to win a PGA Tour event. And I will say that there was a couple things that Keegan kind of pointed out. First off, he said, quote, the decision was made a while ago, which means that we've been now extended this for weeks, speculating will he, won't he. But there was a time, and this is coming from Keegan as well, when he was going to play. So my mind is swimming, and I cannot wait for the 30 for 30 on ESPN, because I can just imagine what comes after. What if I told you that there was a moment when Keegan Bradley was going to play the Ryder Cup in 2025, and then there was a moment when he wasn't going to play the Ryder Cup in 2025. You and I sort of addressed the idea that he said that this had been made a while ago. However, on Saturday night at Eastlake, he told reporters, including myself and our very own Todd Lewis, that if he were to win somehow on Sunday at the Tour Championship, that it would probably factor in to his decision. He didn't end up winning. He finished tied for 7th, 5 shots back. Are you telling me that 5 shots is really the difference on this? I have a hard time wrapping my mind around all of this.
I think they would have just really struggled with the optics of how do you leave a player who just won the Tour Championship, just won the FedEx Cup, has just won the prize as the season-long champion on the PGA Tour. How do you leave that player at home? I do think that would have involved some sort of evaluation process. I was very interested in you bring up a great point, because there really wasn't, at least to hear Keegan Bradley, like a eureka moment or a light bulb moment where all of a sudden he just decided, all right, you know, I haven't been playing well enough for 6 weeks, and the rest of these players have. I'm just going to focus on the captaincy. That had sort of been in the back of his mind, he said, all along over these past couple months, even after winning the Travelers Championship. He said that win, though, in the signature event on the PGA Tour sort of just opened his eyes to the possibility that this could become a thing. And I'm really struck, Rex, by this evaluation process that Keegan Bradley, the captain, had to do of Keegan Bradley, the player, and Keegan's own acknowledgement that he didn't do enough over the past 2 months to really cement the decision that he should play on this team. And I think when you contrast that to the play of those who were picked on that team, I think it's very striking. You know, Ben Griffin, a lot of folks, I'm sure, in the summer thought that this is just a hot streak. He's going to go back to being the tour journeyman that he's always been. Instead, he continued to make that leap. Top 10s in two major championships, continued to play well throughout the postseason, top 12 finishes in all three of those events. You look at what Cameron Young did, a player who would have been off the radar even after a close call in Canada, even after a good finish at the U.S. Open. It wasn't until the Wyndham Championship, the breakaway victory there in the regular season finale, coupled with then his continued great play in the postseason, that Cam Young became a lock. I think the same sort of theory and logic applies to Sam Burns, who is the 54-hole leader at the U.S. Open, coughed that one up with a Sunday 78. He kept it going as well, Rex, in the postseason with two top seven finishes, coupled with being the number one putter on the PGA Tour, coupled with being a proven partner for Patrick Cantlay and Colin Morikawa. So it wasn't just that Keegan Bradley failed to sustain the run of form that he showed for the spring, and certainly at the Travelers Championship, and winning that after Tommy Fleetwood kicked it away in the 72nd hole. I think it was in combination. It was in concert with the uptick in form from the players who were on that Ryder Cup radar that really made it, although it was difficult, although it was devastating, although it was disappointing, it made it a pretty easy decision for Keegan Bradley to make.
I think so. And I was kind of touching base with one of sort of the numbers guys that, you know, are in that universe for the U.S. team. And I sort of just asked, like, give me the stats that you would fixate on if you're going to make these six picks. And some of them are pretty obvious. Obviously, you need to drive the ball well. You need to have some distance off the tee. Again, we know what Bethpage Black is. You clearly match play being match play. You want some good putters. The one stat that stood out to me was approach shots 200 yards or more. And again, this goes to the idea that it's a big ballpark. It's a big property. And as I sort of went down the list, breaking down statistically each one of these picks, Ben Griffin stood out to me. And putting and strokes gained putting on the PGA Tour this year, he's 22nd. He's a really good putter on tour, but he's 17th on tour in approach shots outside of 200 yards or more. That makes for a very good alternate shot partner. You're going to put him in a position where, as long as he's in the fairway, he can do something special with a long iron, and then he's proven himself really good with the putter. And to your point, I mean, Burns is the one that sort of stands out to me, because I think you and I batted this one back and forth on Sunday night, that if there was a borderline pick outside of that Keegan and the others category that we've just addressed, maybe Burns and Cam Young would be the one where you're having the conversation. But Cam Young hasn't been outside the top 11 since July. This isn't just a hot streak. This is a really good run. But the other side of Sam Burns, and I think this is Keegan's line, not mine, not a better putter on the planet, at least not right now, first on tour in strokes game putting. So you're going to love what he does there. And then probably Morikawa. I think he was always going to be a pick just based on where
I think Colin Morikawa, Rex, is the player who the fans at home are being like, why are we picking this guy? You know, his best finish in the past 3 months is a tie for eighth. He's not a long ball hitter on a golf course.
But if you look at it statistically, the things I just pointed out, he's 13th on tour this season, strokes gained off the tee. He's third in strokes gained approach. We know his long iron game is just sublime. So if you start mixing and matching, and I don't know how much Keegan really looked into these stats. I think some captains do. Some captains just go on a gut feeling. I think there was also a rookie question here with two rookies already qualified for the team among the top six in JJ Spahn and Russell Henley. Certainly as a captain, you're going to be a little concerned with the idea that how many more rookies am I really going to add for something that most people are going to agree that rookies don't like. So I think it shows a lot of just not confidence, but a lot of certainty in his decision that he didn't blink when it came to Griffin and Burns as rookies.
And I've been on record saying I like the fact that a captain has more wildcard selections. Right. Like there's been the shift over the past couple of years to go from 10 automatic qualifiers and two wildcard picks. And then it was 9 and 3. And now we've had, I think since 2021 with the COVID affected Ryder Cup, that you have this 6 and 6 balance, because I think there's always a difference between players who deserve to be there and captains who are sort of forming a team how they want to, an objective versus a subjective analysis. And there's certainly going to be fans who say that Colin Morikawa doesn't deserve to be on this team based on what he has done recently. The objective matter is he accrued enough points to finish eighth in the standings, a significant more than some of the other players who were picked for this team. I think when you look objectively at the data, what he does well, the precision he has, the accuracy he has, the winning Ryder Cup record that he has, particularly in the foursomes slash alternate shot format, to me, a Colin Morikawa makes a lot of sense. I think the other picks were sort of no brainers in that respect as well. Rex, how do you think that this is gonna land with fans? Because we've been talking about this possibility now for months. I don't think Keegan Bradley and the rest of, you know, the Team USA leadership, whether it was Kevin Kisner or Jim Furyk or Brant Snedeker, have done anything to sort of tamp down the possibility of this happening. It has a very reality TV show type of vibe to it, with the cameras following him, hyping it up. Player registration last week at Eastlake at the Tour Championship, showcasing Arnold Palmer's golf bag from the 1963 Ryder Cup when he was the playing captain. Both Keegan Bradley and Ben Griffin are going to be on full swing in 2026. Like, everything sort of seemed commercialized and promotional in the respect that I think a lot of fans, and guys, correct me if I'm wrong, if you weigh in on the YouTube section here, a lot of fans wanted to see Keegan Bradley break the mold and be a playing captain. So I'm curious, now that the decision has made, how do you think that that is going to resonate with fans and with the players?
It's clear with the Keegan Bradley pick as a captain that the PGA of America wanted someone to think outside the box. I think Eamon Lynch said someone who wasn't part of the Cool Kids Club. And we've established that's Keegan being passed over last time, all the emotion, everything that went into that. He should have been on that team last time around. And someone that knows Keegan very well pointed out to me this morning that if he probably makes that team in Rome 2 years ago, he probably doesn't get the captaincy, and this is an entirely different conversation. So it is kind of fascinating how history sort of winds its way around certain players and certain captains. I can tell you, though, because right as the captains and picks were being announced, I took to the X machine, formerly Twitter, and I got a lot of response. And most of it has to do with, one, Keegan, two, Patrick Cantlay, Dom 55907. Cantlay is so hard to root for. Wow, Dom, you're tough. This guy, DC Mockers, not sure what that is. Rex, how much do you think the U.S. team will lose by? I didn't know how to respond to that. This guy, Crazy Golf 11. Goof. I'm sorry. Crazy Goof 11. BS. He didn't use the word BS. He used the real word. This is a clean podcast. We're not going to do that. Cantlay should not have been picked, and Bradley should have chosen himself. Another foolish move by the PGA Tour brass. PGA Tour does not run this, but all right. We can move on from that. It's mixed.
Patrick Cantlay has been one of the best players statistically among the Americans, certainly among the top 20 in the world. His team match play record is 15-6-1. And I know he took a long time at the Tour Championship. I know he was shuffling his feet. I know he drew the ire, or at least the sarcastic ire, of Phil Mickelson on X/Twitter for his antics and how he was potentially slowing down Tommy Fleetwood as they were competing for the FedEx Cup. But again, Patrick Cantlay has gone 15-6-1 in the Ryder Cup and the Presidents Cup. He has never lost in Sunday singles. He was a lightning rod for that American side. He and Max Homa were basically the only two players who performed admirably in Rome in the 2023 Ryder Cup and what became a losing effort for the Americans. As much as you might not like to pick now, as much as Patrick Cantlay's personality may grate on you, I promise you, if you are an American golf fan, you will be cheering for the fact if Patrick Cantlay starts winning points at Bethpage Black. He's one of the best players in the world. He has a great record. Just stop it. If you're a U.S. golf fan, you want Patrick Cantlay on that team.
I did not mean to back you into the corner of defending Patrick Cantlay. I feel bad about doing that. I don't think it was absolutely necessary. I'm with you. I think Pat should, he was never even in the conversation. Of course, no. He should be a pick based on what he's been to that team. All that said, knowing what we know about Bethpage, and knowing how people do not forget, and the fact of the matter is, right or wrong, I'm not justifying this, I'm not trying to explain it, Pat doesn't seem to be very popular with the fans right now, for whatever reason. If things go wrong for the U.S. team at Bethpage, and if they go wrong early, he is going to be at the center of that controversy. You're also leaving out, both of us are leaving out, very conveniently, that the U.S. players want to get paid. this time around. And that's going to resurface as well. So there are a couple of things.
I mean, they are getting paid this time around.
And exactly. And I would say that Pat was probably behind that charge when it comes to guys wanting to get paid, seeing as how we go back to Rome and the hat and everything else that went into that. Not even saying it's wrong. I think I was on record pointing out that, yeah, they should probably get paid. Like, look, man, we're in the age of NIL now, and everybody should be aware of exactly what their value is. And who am I to say that no, Pat or any of the other U.S. players don't deserve a slice of what is a very big piece of pie when it comes to the Ryder Cup and what they're charging for tickets, I think factors into this as well. My only point is things could go wrong very, very quickly. I'm with you. Pat should have been a pick, not even in the conversation. I'm with you. I think the six picks were actually very, very good, very inspired, but that's not going to change the fact if things go poorly for the U.S. team.
I think, yeah, obviously if you take out the Patrick Cantlay hatred that you appear to be receiving on X/Twitter.
I don't know if it's hatred for Pat or love for Keegan, because I think a lot of people really wanted Keegan to play.
Yeah, so I think to the larger question that we're discussing here, I think people are going to be disappointed. I think people are going to be looking at the performance of a Patrick Cantlay or a Colin Morikawa, who I would think would be sort of under the microscope. Ben Griffin, you know, I think is a role player on this team, much as I think a Colin Morikawa is going to be a role player. I do not expect to see a Colin Morikawa in a four ball session. I expect to see him using his precision, using his accuracy in the alternate shot format. And that's going to be it. The two sessions before you get to Sunday singles. But I think, you know, a Colin Morikawa, I think a Patrick Cantlay are going to be under the microscope for fans. I think they're going to be disappointed by the process because this has been so hyped over these past couple months, and the possibility, look, like the possibility is cool. I think everyone's going to be tuning into the Ryder Cup anyway, because it's a massive sporting event. But I think even more attention would have been paid to the fact that this guy is trying to do something that has not happened since the modern era. Like, I think that was really cool. I think that would be really compelling. I think that would be really dramatic to see him occupy those two roles. Like, I think that's indisputable that people wanted to see that. However, when you look at it objectively, it's an unnecessary risk. It's an unnecessary distraction, and it heaps an unfathomable amount of pressure on one person to perform. And I think that is unreasonable. And I think that is I think that would have been an unwise move when there are so many other built-in advantages for hosting a Ryder Cup, whether it's fans, it's picking the session, whatever the case may be. Like, it is a significant, it is a massive advantage to be a home team in the Ryder Cup. There's a reason why across the last five Ryder Cups, the average margin of victory is 6.6. They have all been blowouts because it is a huge, huge benefit to doing so. And so creating a scenario where, as a playing captain, your priorities and responsibilities and attention is potentially divided, to me, was an unnecessary risk. Would it have been cool? Would it have been fun? Would it have been dramatic? Indisputably. Was it unnecessary in the grand scheme of things? For sure. And I don't think you can argue with that.
And I will say, and look, only history is going to be able to decide this one. I'll go back to Tom Watson being appointed captain going overseas very, very late in his career, where he didn't have any connection with the players. And I sort of hung that loss, which led to everything that became the player empowerment when it came to the Ryder Cup. And now I think the pendulum has swung back the other way, where the PGA of America has stepped in, certainly with the Keegan Bradley pick. However, I wasn't critical of Tom Watson. He did the best possible job he could. I was critical of Ted Bishop, who was president of the PGA of America at the time, for trying to shoehorn a captain that clearly he had a lot of respect for into an era where he wasn't going to be a very effective captain. And it has, again, nothing to do with Tom Watson here. It has to do with age and different generations and how players are motivated now versus how they were back in Tom Watson's day. It was a really bad fit, and it had nothing to do with Tom Watson. It had to do with the PGA of America leadership, who decided to make that happen. As we get further down the road, and when we look back on this moment, we can come and we're going to decide one way or the other if this was a good choice. Because I was taken last week at Eastlake when Keegan talked about the idea that from the moment he took this job, he still felt like he was among the top 12 Americans, that this possibility was very real in his mind. Whether or not the leadership at the PGA of America thought so at the time, I guess we're going to find out. Because if you did, I would say it was ill-advised, because you have now put a player, Keegan Bradley, who's well-intentioned as can be, into an impossible situation. Again, I'll go back to it. If he's not the captain, he's a no-brainer pick. I don't think we have this conversation. But he was the captain, and he was backed into an unprecedented corner, at least in the modern era. And I think history is going to judge if it was a good decision or a bad decision.
Yeah, I can't help but feel sorry, to your point, Rex, for Keegan Bradley, like particularly when you think about his career arc. You know, this was a guy who was such a fire starter for those decade ago U.S. Ryder Cup teams, pairing so successfully with Phil Mickelson. Obviously, remember the suitcase he didn't open because the loss was so disappointing. Then was on the losing, it was on the final green at Glen Eagles when the U.S. got routed there and had not played in a Ryder Cup team since then. The ability for him to continually dust himself off and reinvent himself and overcome adversity has been nothing short of remarkable in his career. Like, this was a player who was left for dead after the anchor ban. All of a sudden, he tried different methods and became one of the top 25 putters on the PGA Tour. We all remember the dramatic scenes and full swing of him getting snubbed by Zach Johnson. He was passed over for Justin Thomas and the like for that 2023 team. You know, he did not ask for any of this. The PGA of America heaped this responsibility on him because they had an outside the box selection as captain, particularly after Tiger Woods turned down the captaincy last spring and last summer, that they wanted to sort of break the mold of this old boys club. And Keegan Bradley was their selection to doing so. That I believe the sentiment at the time was, well, look, we have like historical precedents. This guy's form is going to fall off a cliff. We might say that we want him to be a playing captain, but like, we all know that's not going to happen. This dude's 38 years old. Everyone on the PGA Tour is younger, bigger, stronger, faster. Like, it's going to be a moot point. All credit to Keegan Bradley for even making this a thing. Like, had one of the best seasons of his PGA Tour career with all of the other distractions, with all of the other responsibilities. And so I think fans are obviously going to be disappointed by the fact that he is not going to be on the active 12-man roster. But I think when you look at Keegan Bradley, the captain, and the decisions he has made and why he has done so, I don't know how you can't have anything but respect and admiration for how he has handled this. Like, he evaluated himself as a player and I think selflessly opted for what was best for the team, for the entire team. He sacrificed his own personal gain for the betterment of the team, even though it was really personally disappointing. And the Americans have been criticized for a lot of things over the years, namely specifically being selfish and being self-centered and just caring about themselves. What Keegan Bradley has done with this decision in particular is the antithesis of that. And I really think that the U.S. team as a whole can be galvanized by this sort of selflessness. Because if Keegan Bradley, whose only goal was to play on another Ryder Cup team, is passing himself up, why can't I, if I'm a Scottie Scheffler or a Bryson DeChambeau, put my ego and pride aside and do something, whatever the something is, for the betterment of the entire team? I just think he sets such a great example as a leader of this group.
I tend to agree with what Brandel said on the show after the announcements, that however this plays out, if the United States wins, I think you can point to that moment when Keegan Bradley made that decision to be selfless, to be a leader, to decide that, you know what, this is probably going to hurt me in the long run. I'm not quite sure if I'll ever be in this position again, but what's best for the U.S. team is me to focus on being a captain. I think you'll be able to point to that moment and say that's when it happened. There's going to be a lot of things that happen between now and that Sunday afternoon, certainly when you look at individual players and individual performances. But it certainly sent a very strong message that will be remembered. You and I just tried to do like highlights of the year on Sunday, and I was very quick to point out that we're probably going to change this list by the time we do it again in November or December, because normally there's one, two, or three things that come up at the Ryder Cup that are going to factor in and be those moments of the year. I would argue that this has the potential of being one of those moments. I would flip this back on you as we look. Again, I can't wait for the 30 for 30, because are we in this situation? Are we here in this moment in time, if not for Netflix? If the cameras aren't on him when he gets that phone call 2 years ago going into Rome, and he's not one of the captain's picks, and we don't see how devastating it is to him, we don't see the emotion and how much that really tore him apart not being a pick for that team, do we end up here? Because I don't know if everyone really knows exactly how much that meant to him.
I mean, the PGA of America brass is adamant that that show, that devastation, that disappointment had nothing to do with elevating Keegan Bradley to the captaincy. It's strictly wanted to have an outside the box, break the mold type pick. And that's why they went with Keegan Bradley over, I don't know, a Stuart Sink or a Brant Snedeker, players of that mold, players of that ilk. I liked the move at the time, again, sort of with the operating assumption that his play was going to fall off. You know, if his play falls off and he's, you know, not a top 50 player on the PGA Tour anymore, if he was, you know, well outside the top 12 in Ryder Cup points, and it's an easy decision, and he's basically just selecting players who are peers of his on tour, but he's still, you know, in the know enough. Like, I think that that scenario is perfectly fine. I do think there's something said of having a captain who is a contemporary. Again, I think this really comes down to the singular talent and the singular ability of Keegan Bradley to compartmentalize this year. The PGA of America, they can say whatever they want. There had to have been the belief that there's no way this guy can keep it up. And he did. And your hat's off to him.
I mean, to your point, historically, captains play fall off. It doesn't matter age. It doesn't matter generation. It's just, it's a consuming job, and it's not very conducive to being a professional golfer. So you're right. It is absolutely amazing that we ended up where we ended up.
All right. That is going to do it for this edition of Golf Show Podcast with Rex and Lav. Much more on NBCSports.com/golf, a.k.a. golfchannel.com. Rex and I will have another podcast next Monday, Labor Day Monday, or Tuesday, following the announcement of European Ryder Cup captain Luke Donald. We are not anticipating to go 32 minutes, Rex, on that podcast. Maybe. We are very much anticipating that Luke Donald is going to have virtually the same team that he donned in Rome, other than potentially swapping out a Hogard with Nikolai for Rasmus, who was, again, one of those automatic qualifiers. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. We appreciate you guys weighing in on this debate over the past 9 months. It's been a lot of fun. Hashtag content for days. Thanks for listening. Thanks for support. Talk to you guys next week.
It's draft day, y'all.